comes to us from the fifth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Made it now to the tenth commandment. So from Deuteronomy chapter 5, the 21st verse. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. In the words of my mouth, in the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. With November, we begin to close our study of the Ten Commandments. For too long, as the stores are reminding us, it will be Christmas time. But we need to remember where we have been in order to know where we are going, and where we'll end up in our studies of the law on the first Sunday of December. The first tablet of the law, the first through fourth commandments, set the tone and the trajectory for all that followed. True religion, the first commandment, true worship, the second. True life, the third, and true rest, the fourth, define what it is to live as those who honor, who befriend, who love, respect, trust, and now encourage our neighbors. That is, all whom we encounter in our daily lives. This is important. Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees blunted the startling implications of the commandments by radically redefining the word neighbor. If you want out from underneath this commandment, redefine neighbor. It's easily done. I once encountered it this way. And someone opined that when Jesus says, love thy neighbor, what he really means is love thy American neighbor. I live next to some Jamaicans, and I don't know what that would mean. They both work for the ATF. Now, there's a reason Jesus asked the Pharisees a simple question in response to their question, who is my neighbor? He says simply, who was neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He shifts the question. If anything, then, we should stand humbled before the entirety of the law, in awe of its commands and aware that it is holy, just, and good. We should be frightfully aware that without the help of the Holy Spirit, we are unable to achieve the least speck of obedience to God. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags before the law. It's futile even to attempt to start. Pointless to attempt to lawyer our way out of the mess of our lives. Each commandment has brought us face to face with our desperate need for Jesus Christ. Our desperate need for the Lord, who alone is able to transform us, who alone made us whole, who alone sets us on the path of obedience. When we know the law, we really know the law. And we must be very aware of our great need for Jesus Christ. The law will never leave us complacent, if we're aware of it. It will always send us to Jesus, there to find our comfort and our salvation in his grace alone, and not in any righteousness that we can pretend. This morning, the 10th commandment drives home the fact that our desires, meaning the habits, affections, and inclinations of our hearts and our minds, need guidance and direction from the Lord. Yes, not just our actions, but our hearts, our minds, and our wills must be obedient to Christ. Because you see, we come to Him as whole people, and He is the Lord of our whole lives, including what we think about, what we dream about, and what we desire to achieve in this life. Our culture burns with the desire of desire. Advertisements used at the start mainly to focus on the facts about goods for sale. Right? You wanted this toaster because it was more efficient and toasted more toast than that toaster. Now, what the toaster company is selling you is lifestyle of desire. Advertisement is simply intended to trigger longing in us. Longing. Not for anything in particular, but just enough to get you to become discontented with the life you have now. So that you will find the answer for your life, fill that hole in your life with some good, a product, or service, or visit some particular merchant who can fill that hole for you. We're exactly in that time of year with the circulars in this Sunday's paper. Just read that with a view to what are they trying to get you to feel. Put simply, we live in an age of manufactured discontent, which is precisely contrary to this command. The 10th commandment means that whatever we conceive, whatever we plan, and whatever we pursue, it is all inseparable from our neighbor's welfare and interest. We have no choice, you see, but to live in human community. And we have no choice but to live lives of Christian faith in human community. The sins forbidden by the 10th commandment are the sinful and inordinate desire and craving for the things of the world. Both in general, that's a desire for desire, as in just to feel like I want to. Something. Just to feel like I want something. So what they know is that feeling of satisfaction you get from an impulse buy dissipates after 7 seconds. And that's why their advertisement's on the way out the store. As long as it takes you to get from the checkout clerk to the door, you need that fix again. Just to feel like I want something. It also forbids the inordinate desires and cravings for things in particular. The craving for the next dollar, the next conquest, the next thing which is finally going to make me happy. I just need more. I had kids who went trick-or-treating. And at 11 o'clock they start negotiating with you. Just one more piece of candy. Not the way it worked. The Puritans had a habit of outlining the ways in which a violation of this commandment was a violation of all of them. They're helpful thoughts, but this morning, I want your attention on this idea. The sin at the heart of disobedience to the 10th commandment is the failure to trust in the providence of God. The sin at the heart disobedience to the 10th commandment is the failure to trust in the providence of God. It's a failure to believe that God is good and wants your good. It's the failure to believe that God is powerful and can enter into your life and your situation. problem, as all the generations of God's people have noted, is that this sin in particular is subtle. And it insinuates itself into the heart very easily, and it usually does it with virtue's clothes. Anger and lust must arrive as anger and lust, and then rationalize themselves in your life to murder and adultery. But covetousness arrives looking like good stewardship, godly economics, or pious purchases. The 10th commandment means that we have to take a very careful look at our wills, that's what we want, at our attitudes, how I think about things, and our affections. Do I love and truly value? Why, we should ask ourselves, do we want the things we want? In what way do they advance our faith or get us near to Jesus? The failure to give appropriately and proportionately to church on the basis that it's good stewardship is an example of this kind of sin. The duties required by the 10th commandment are full contentment with our own condition, and a charitable frame of mind towards our neighbor. And whatever tends towards our neighbor's good. Now, this is not to say you have to put up with pajamas with holes in them, buy the new pajamas. It does mean you don't need a different pair of pajamas every day of the year. Because our culture simply teaches us to manufacture discontent in our hearts, this is hard for us. And likewise, it can be hard for us to maintain a charitable mind towards those whom we do not wish to see any good thing come. And it shows up when we question whether or not someone is deserving of help or blessing or concern. It takes, you see, a certain amount of Christian maturity to live in a smaller house than our neighbors, or maybe even to drive a smaller car than our neighbors, or maybe even an older car than our neighbors. A certain amount of Christian maturity to celebrate the blessings that fall into others' lives. Learning those lessons means learning the lessons of the 10th commandment. This morning we've gathered around this table knowing that we need Jesus' help to guide and direct our wills, our affections, and the very thoughts of our minds. Here at this table we're taught to desire holy things. Desiring the things of the Spirit, we are taught to depend on the Lord, who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Therefore, come to this table and taste and see